Thanks for tuning in to the Bethany Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message helps you grow in your faith with Christ. If you'd like to find out more about what's going on at Bethany or give, you can visit us online at bethanysite.com or download our mobile app.
Welcome and thank you for joining us. My name is Josh. If we haven't met before, a few things before we get started. Pastor Ryan talked about this, but if you didn't get one of these on the way in, these are awesome. Especially if you're new here, you're like, okay, what does this look like? What are some of the opportunities? What are some of the ministries I could get connected to? Who are some of the ministry leaders? There's pictures in here, so this helps give you a lot of clarity. Those are available in the back of the room or the welcome desk. You can grab those on the way out. And then in the seat back in front of you, we have these trifolds, which are information on different areas that you could potentially partner with us and jump in and serve alongside us. So you can look at those as well. But we're starting or continuing in our series called The Upside Down Kingdom. And here's what kind of the idea behind this entire series has been. That maybe you've seen this, maybe you've been attending church for a while, maybe you're here for the very first time, and if you are, we're glad that you're with us. But one of the things that you might know or be aware of is the ways in which we are challenged to live, I would say in a way that's countercultural. Like things that run in contrast or even conflict potentially with what we're presented with in our day-to-day lives of how we should live. But part of the challenge that we face, I think, is this reality in recognizing oftentimes we actually feel like we know generally what the right thing to do is. Like, we have this general feeling of how we should be living our lives or what that should look like. Maybe this is your first time in church. You may even go to church for a long time, but if you've had any kind of moral or religious teaching or biblical teaching, you see and are exposed to all these different ways that we're supposed to be living around our lives. You've probably heard some of these things, like, I know I should be a good person. Or if you've ever been to a wedding, I do weddings all the time, sometimes the pastor will stand up and they'll read the scripture, love is patient. Love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. Like, all of these things, especially if you're married, that we know should be a part of how we live our lives. We know that that's a description of how we should engage with our spouse. What it should look like when we're frustrated, when we're happy, when we're stressed. Through all of those different seasons, we have this like basic understanding of what it is that we should do. And as the scripture goes on, it challenges us to some complex ideas. There's a few things in there. It says to love your enemy. And you're like, okay, I've got some pretty bad enemies out there. Or it says that we should not be anxious about anything. All of these challenges that we face. Christ at one point says, give up everything and follow me. And one of the questions we ask, whether you're here for the first time or you've been here for years, is like, how's that going? Like, how are we doing? It's kind of like the idea of understanding what we should do to live a healthy physical lifestyle and then what we actually do. Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about. Like, we have infinite access to all of the information we might need to know exactly what it looks like to live a healthy lifestyle. Access to healthy foods, we understand diet. You can hop online and figure out a good exercise plan. We know we should get more sleep, but do we do any of those things? Like, understanding, I know how healthy it is at times to reduce your carb intake or to do no-carb diets. We've done that before, but like, have you had carbs lately? They're incredible. Like, I love carbs. All these things we know we should do. A few weeks ago, I was going in to see my doctor, and my wife and I are starting to talk about our long-term health and all of these different things. And she's like, hey, what are you going to do if they tell you? If you don't know this about me, I love Diet Coke. Like, I think Diet Coke's fantastic. And I know some of you are already queuing up the emails to send me the articles. Go ahead and send them in. I'll read them about how terrible it is for you. But I love it. And my wife's like, what are you going to do if they say, hey, if you want to live a long time, healthy lifestyle, you need to give up Diet Coke? And I said, well, babe, it's been a good run. She didn't like that answer. But there's so many things that we know we should do, but it doesn't always translate to us living our lives the way we should. In fact, the question I want you to think about as we move through several different points in Scripture today is, why don't we live our lives the way we know we should? Like, just going, okay, none of us in this room, none of us watching online are perfect. There's things that all of us struggle with. What is it that's actually holding us back? And if you narrow that focus, there's so many different topics that we could cover. But if we look at this idea that we've been looking at for a few weeks of what it's like to live the life of a servant, to live a sacrificial life, like I got to talk about a few weeks ago, to live into our gifts, like Pastor George talked about last week, what is it that actually holds us back from living that way? And I think part of that is just recognizing that oftentimes it's difficult or it's uncomfortable. That's often the root of the different things that hold us back, like it's inconvenient, it's challenging, or one of the things that we often feel like is, well, someone else will do it. Like someone else will take care of that, someone else will help with that. All of these different things that we're tempted to feel. And we see Jesus' words. This is our theme verse for this whole series in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read this and then we'll look at some other scriptures. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man," Jesus is talking about himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And if you've heard that scripture before, if you've been trying to pursue this life where you're chasing after, maybe you've made a decision to follow Jesus and you're trying to pursue that, I think as we read a scripture like this, we face this tension where we simultaneously accept this wholeheartedly and we wrestle with it practically. Like there's a part of us that accepts this wholeheartedly. We say, yes, I've read that. I see that over and over in the scripture. But when it comes to how I actually live my life in practicality, there are so many challenges and things that hold us back. In fact, if you are new to church, maybe you're here in this room for the very first time, maybe you're tuning in online for the very first time, as we move through this, I want you to know that this is what it should look like to live a life in pursuit of Christ. If you're wondering, like, what does this actually look like as we live it out, here's what it is. And so in breaking it down, I want to look at four different characteristics of a servant. The idea of a servant being someone that is sacrificing, someone that is living a life pursuing Christ. And we're going to be bouncing through several different scriptures. So if you want to try to keep up with us, you can. All of the scriptures are going to be up on the screen behind me or on your screen at home. Or if you have the Bethany app, all of the scriptures are there, as well as some fill in the blanks, if you like those. So the first one. The first characteristic of a servant is free in Christ. Now let me read some scripture and then explain what that looks like. This is the Apostle Paul writing in Galatians 5. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." And as we see this freedom, I want to build this from the foundation up. So the freedom that we're talking about, if you're not familiar with it, here that Paul's talking about is this freedom in Christ. This freedom found in something called the gospel, which simply means the good news, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and our necessity for it. Now that freedom doesn't always mean joy. It doesn't always mean happiness. Here's one of the misconceptions that I think we have that we face the entirety of our life, that if we could just get free from this one thing, that everything would be better. Think about the different seasons of your life. For me, you know, as a teenager, it's like, okay, if I could just get free from my parents' rules, right? If I can get my own place. And then it's like, okay, if I could just get free from school, that's what's really holding me back. And then at some point you go, okay, maybe it's just this job. If I could just get free from this job or this relationship. And then you get towards the end of your career and you go, as soon as I retire, that's what it is. I just need freedom from all that. But it's this constant cycle of waiting and hoping that this freedom we have is somehow going to manifest itself in like this perfect joy and happiness. When I was younger, for me, it was freedom in being able to drive. I was like, as soon as I get my license, I was a car guy. I felt like as soon as I got my license, that was the freedom I needed to like finally be me. Very first night, I come home with my parents from taking my driving test. I drop them off and they say, "Are you gonna go somewhere?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go to the grocery store." Or I think I went to a sporting goods store, but I just wanted to go somewhere. Like, I just wanted to experience that freedom. Within 5 minutes, I get to this light and I'm about to turn left. And I turn left too sharp and I end up driving down the wrong side of the road, the left side of the road. I'm freaking out. There's cars driving at me. I pull into this gas station, and I was like, that was not the fulfillment of freedom that I expected. And like, do you think I told my parents when I got home? Of course not. I have been telling them for 6 months, every time that we drove together, I don't need you. Like, I've got this figured out. I don't need your help. But this freedom that we pursue, it's like sand through our fingertips sometimes. If we're waiting for something, and Paul says this, you have this freedom then to choose how to respond, to indulge the flesh or live free in Christ. That word flesh is this Greek word sarx, which is the idea of like our human nature, our human flesh, the body. He says, no, don't use the freedom for that. Use it to serve humbly and in love. And here we start to see the challenge against why don't we live the way we know we should live. The first calling, as we see this freedom, is a calling to humble service in love. Living a life of a servant always requires humility. It always requires a sacrifice. There's always something that we have to give up if we're choosing to step into this. And man, talk about inner conflict. Taking this freedom that we've been given, Paul talks about, and then choosing in that freedom to submit ourselves to something. That this first characteristic of a servant is that we're free in Christ. The second characteristic of this is a servant is committed to Christ. Now, I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. Everyone in this room and watching online is at a different point. But you're listening to a pastor, and you're either in a church or you're watching a church service online. So obviously the context or the lens that we're going to look through is, what does this actually mean? Where do our commitments lie? And we believe this is a commitment to Christ, to choose, that a servant chooses to be committed to Christ. In the Old Testament, there's this story that starts with a man named Moses leading the Israelites out of their captivity. And then he hands the successor, Joshua, the leadership. And Joshua has the opportunity to bring these people into the promised land. But over and over, if you read the Old Testament, you see this story of like doubt and then failure and then God pursuing reconciliation with his people. And then repeat. Doubt and failure and pursued reconciliation happens over and over with the people of Egypt. As they're freed from their slavery, their captivity, one of the questions they ask, they get out and they go, well, great, now we're just going to starve to death. At least back there, we had food. And then they find themselves in battle, and they say, okay, great, now we're going to die in battle. At least back there, we were going to survive. All of these times, over and over. And in the midst of that, they're constantly being influenced by other people, other religions, these doubts. Regardless of the faithfulness of God they've seen, they're drawn back time and time again. And Joshua says this, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Maybe you've heard the scripture before. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, look, it's time to choose. And really, if you read the totality of the Old Testament, you know this happened over and over again. He says, it's time to choose, to make a commitment. Are you going to serve these foreign gods? Are you going to submit to these idols? Choose today. Choose this day who you will serve. But if you read, as Joshua speaks and he teaches, he's giving them the answer to the test. Yes, he's giving them a chance to say, hey, you decide. But as he's doing so, as the leader, he's got a lot of strong influence in the language he uses in recognizing God's faithfulness. It's like that idea of when your spouse wants to go somewhere for dinner, and then you say like, okay, we can go there if you want, but you know, it's like, it's almost an hour away with traffic, and it's probably going to be like an hour wait, and last time the service was really bad. Hey, if you want to go there, you know, I guess we can. And then they're like, I guess we can go somewhere else. And you're like, oh man, I did it. I was so subtle. Like that was like the movie Inception. They didn't even notice what I was doing. Like we're guiding and influencing the decision as we're asking the question. Or we do this with our kids all the times. And so as Joshua is sharing this, there's this influence in what he's saying as their leader, especially when he says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord because of God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to his people over and over again, and Joshua begins to draw on that, to challenge their doubt, and to say, hey, it's time. It's time to make a conscious decision. It's time to draw the line in the sand and choose where you're going to place your allegiance, your hope, your attention, your focus. Now see how this influences us. The same question could be asked for us. What is it that we're committed to? What is it that we're prioritizing? Because for a lot of us, this is where we get stuck. We get stuck in recognizing this idea of a humble servitude is like choosing to be committed, to pursue this, because there are so many other things that distract us. Or maybe there's pain. Maybe there's heartache or fear that holds you back from fully committing. Maybe you're in the season of a trial right now. And part of the beauty of what Joshua does, as you continue to read this, is he points back to the faithfulness of God. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. That you need to be reminded of God's faithfulness in your life. In the midst of whatever you're going through now, that God has been faithful. What he's brought you through. Where you've come from. Or maybe you're just starting out your spiritual journey and your hope is found in God's faithfulness and his sacrifice. But it's recognizing that that commitment is like a day-by-day, moment-by-moment decision that we make. Third, we see the characteristic of a servant is created by Christ. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. And this is, again, the words of Paul, but this time in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. He uses this phrase. He says, we're God's handiwork, his design, his workmanship. And I think this is one of the first things when we start wrestling with those doubts about what we can actually achieve that gets challenged. It's like, am I truly good enough? Do I have the understanding? Do I have the capacity? Will someone else do it better? All of these doubts that start to cloud our judgment. And I want you to hear this and listen carefully, because if you go through this book, this is full of stories of imperfect people being used powerfully by God. Here's what I want you to hear today, that you are God's handiwork, that you are created to do these good works that God has prepared then in advance for you to do. You see, when we talk about the gospel, as we read through the words of Paul, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus offers us this opportunity to respond, this necessity to respond. But if we do, like if you've made that decision to follow Jesus, if you've made the decision to step into a relationship with him, then Paul tells us and the scripture tells us that you are then a new creation, created for an intention, created to do these good works, that God has gifted and created you for a purpose. Just sit with that for a moment. That God has created and gifted you. I'm not talking in generalities now. I want you to hear that. You for his purpose. That he has been preparing things in advance for you to do. Things that no one else can do. Things that no one else has the opportunity, the influence, the creation, the gifting. Only you. Last week, Pastor George talked about the idea of some of the spiritual gifts that we have. Some of the gifts that are given, you know, your primary spiritual gifts, your secondary gifts, and then he talked about the idea of jobs as well. We want you to fulfill those spiritual gifts because we think something comes alive inside of you, and at the same time, there are tasks where you subtly get to use those gifts still. As Pastor George talked about jobs, I love the example he gave. He said when they're getting ready for their community group at their house, which he leads and teaches, and he has a spiritual gift for that, one of his responsibilities beforehand is to vacuum. I don't know if Pastor George has a spiritual gift of vacuuming. I've never found it in the scripture. Maybe it's there. But there's just necessity in doing those things, and there's fulfillment in that. Like some of these different opportunities that you have to serve here or in our community might be tasks that you feel like are just a job, but you have the opportunity to do them and to influence people in a powerful way that God has prepared things in advance for you to do. And last, the last characteristic is the desired result that we hope for. It's that a servant is a light for Christ. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The hope would be this. So I said, if you're new to church, that this is what it should look like. Our hope would be that this is what people on the outside see, that the way in which we live a life of a servant, a sacrificial life, a humble life, would be a sign. It would be a testimony of the inward transformation that we have experienced in a new life with Christ Jesus. You see, in this example, Jesus talks about the idea of a light, which at this time would have been the only source, this candle, to light a room. And think about this example. Like, you wouldn't take that candle then and put it in the corner of the room. You'd put it somewhere visible. You'd put it somewhere where it could have the majority of the impact, where it could have the greatest impact. And I think if we look back to some of the doubts that we face, some of the things that we fight against and why we're not living our lives the way we should, it's this doubt that someone else could step in and they could do it better. But catch this, there are certain rooms that only you have the opportunity to light up. Like, some of you are going into dark, dark places, and no one else can do it for you. Maybe you're the only light for Christ in your workplace. Maybe you're the only light for Christ in your neighborhood as you walk through the streets, in your group of friends, even in your family. But this idea that someone else can take care of it just doesn't hold water when you recognize all of the unique areas that you have influence. And start to ask yourself, what does it look like then to be that light for my family, for my community? And the beauty is, as you look at these characteristics, the impact that it has on us, the influence that we get to see and experience when we step into this calling that Christ is giving. When we step into that freedom, we commit to this life of sacrifice, and we recognize that God has created and gifted us for it. So the last couple of weeks, we've looked at some different stories on serving and different areas that people have been impacted. And so I want you to hear today from just a few of our volunteers from some of the areas on what it looks like for them and what it means to them to serve. Check out this video.
My name is Levi Nichols. I serve at Kids Club on Wednesday nights. I started serving there when my son was in second grade. And I was absolutely hooked with all the fun and excitement that goes on there. I was a pretty new Christian at the time when I started, and to be able to learn the Bible verses along with the kids was super rewarding for me. It was kind of down on my level, starting from scratch. It's impacted me in a very positive way because I feel like I'm helping kids out. I'm preaching the gospel. I know people have taken time out of their day when I was a kid to, you know, talk to me and share things with me, and I had never forgotten it. And if I could do that for kids, then I'll be doing pretty good.
The part that's been most apparent to me in saying yes to serving is that God's grace is sufficient. When I say yes, God shows up, and he makes more of my yes than I'm able to make on my own, and that he doesn't need me to come qualified. when I say yes to his prompt or his invitation to be part of serving the body. I love to serve. It brings me joy to be able to help provide a place for the parents to drop off their kids and feel comfortable knowing that their kids are safe and their kids are happy. And I also enjoy, when the kids are having an off day, bringing them a little bit of comfort and peace and seeing if I can settle them down and eventually get them playing and having fun along with it. To have the kids loving to go to church is the best thing.
What I get from serving is the fact that I get to feel like I'm doing God's work and helping people find a chair, feeling like they're really worth something in coming here and make them feel comfortable coming in through the door. I think everybody has a skill set that God gives to them when they're first born, and you can't discover that unless you step out of your comfort zone. And
high school, I joined the youth group's worship team, and through serving there is actually the path that the Lord took to my salvation. So serving was how I formed relationships, how I got to know people in the church, and ultimately is how I got to know who Christ is. And so that's the biggest impact, is that I was saved because of the influence of people in my life through serving. Since then, serving has shaped how I live, how I pursue relationships, how I teach, how I lead in my family, and ultimately how I pursue who God is through his example of service and through other people in my life who have shown service. I see who Christ is, and that sets the example for me to serve others in the hope that they would see who Christ is through me.
I want you to grab these out of the seat back in front of you. Grab just one of these. As you pop this open, you can see there are so many areas, many of which weren't necessarily represented directly on that video. Some of our kids' areas weren't even represented, probably because they were too busy watching your kids and grandkids. But there are so many different areas. This is just a snapshot. I want you to think about the language that was used, the way in which each one of those volunteers, and many, many more, we could sit down and we could interview and talk to hundreds of volunteers and see the way in which this had an impact on their life. But also, I don't just want to leave it there. I want you to think back to some of the doubts that they probably had to overcome. Think of some of the things that was holding them back, that they finally said, no, I'm going to make a commitment. Like, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. Our hope is that we recognize this, and I've heard it said many times in many different ways, but it's simply this, that serving isn't just something that we do, it's who we are. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus, that would be a paramount of who you are. And it would be visible to the people around us. It would be a testimony to the people around us. When I was growing up, my parents loved to serve. They always wanted to serve in different areas behind the scenes. And I didn't even fully understand what it was we were doing. They were just always there serving in production. And every summer, much like our youth group does, we'd go on mission trips. My parents would come with. It was just like, it was normal to experience that. I remember one year we were in a place in Arkansas, in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're helping, my dad's a construction worker, and so he was helping a team of people that were getting this house ready that was gonna be like transitional housing. We got towards the end of the week and we could all tell like we weren't gonna finish this project. There was a lot more that needed to be done. And he came to me and he said, hey, we're gonna come back next week. Like, not the whole team, just you and me. You're gonna come back and work with me. And when we went back to church, and people heard that we were going to go back and work on it, man, I was getting so many, oh, Josh, that's so great of you, willing to give up your summer and go serve. And I'm like, I don't know if you met my dad, but this wasn't a choice. I was voluntold. But it was like something that the abnormal things become normal. Like a few weeks ago, we had a team for Live to Give that was cleaning up trash on the side of the road. And for a lot of people in our community, there's only one reason to clean up trash on the side of the road, and usually where you're wearing yellow, right? Like, these abnormal things in potentially our culture become normal within the body of Christ, saying, no, we are going to submit to that humbly and respond to that. Our prayer is that each one of us would be using our unique calling. And I know as I look across this room and those of you watching online, there are so many people that serve so generously. In fact, as you look at this, this isn't the only way to respond to this idea. I think this is a tangible way that you can respond today and step into that. But maybe for you, it's already a partnership that you have out in our community. Or maybe you want to go back to that tent after church and you want to ask them like, hey, what can I do in the community? I've already got this impact or this relationship here. Can you help me foster that? And when we live into this, when we serve together, when we unite around that, it does something. Like it unifies us. It puts us on the same path. Selfishly, for each one of us, it surrounds us with people we get to know, that we get to work arm in arm with, and we grow together as a body. And the hope would be in doing that, that we would be a testimony to the world around us. If you want to know more about what it looks like to serve in any capacity, or even just better understand what it is that you might be called to, you can stop by that booth after service and talk to them. But during this next song, I just want you to think about what some of the barriers might be that are holding you back from living the life that God has called you to live. Will you stand with me? God, today we come to you. And we come to you open-handed. Like part of the open-handedness we bring to you, God, is recognizing that we have unique gifts, unique talents, unique influence, unique spiritual gifts that you want to use in us. And we just ask the question, am I living into that? Maybe for some people, there's joy in that. There's affirmation in that. Like as we read through these characteristics, an affirmation of who you are and a challenge to who we should be. Or maybe it's time for us to step into that commitment, to step outside of our comfort zone. But God, in all of those different facets, for those of us in this room and watching online that have made a decision to follow you, we pray that we would serve in a way that is sacrificial, in a way that you challenge us to, in a way that is then a light to the world around us. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.